It's KUOW's The Record. Thank you for tuning in today. I'm Bill Radke. We're on Twitter all this hour, of course, at KUOW. This past fall, two high school students from Texas arrived in Seattle without any family. They came to play football for Garfield High School. The teens say they were left on their own here. Garfield designated them homeless, which made them eligible to play for the school without a neighborhood address. Now the Garfield football team's under investigation for potential violation of recruitment rules. Seattle Times education reporter Claudia Rowe broke this story. Welcome back, Claudia. Thanks for coming.
Thanks so much for having me on, Bill.
Your article focuses on one of the two Texas students, Will Sanders. How did he come to play football for Garfield High School?
So, right. I just wanted to say the other student who came with him did not ever play. My understanding is he sat on the bench quite a bit, but he didn't play. So Will Sanders told me that he posted a video on social media of himself and his friend dunking basketballs, playing basketball at the gym. And later they show up at the gym and in Texas, in Beaumont, Texas. And the guy running Open Gym says, hey, I heard from a dude in Seattle and he might have an opportunity for you. He might want to hook you up. And so Will Sanders ends up speaking to a couple of people from Seattle, he says. And he says one of them was the coach from Garfield High School who told him, come on up here. It'll be great for you. Fantastic opportunity. Garfield's a great school and you'll be able to play. And this is what Will Sanders is alleging, but in terms serious enough that the school district is now investigating.
Okay, we'll talk more about what's under investigation and why. Who is responsible for these two kids when they were here?
Right. So the first person who saw the video was John McKinney, and he is the father of a former Garfield football player, Cameron McKinney. John McKinney told me that he himself arrived in Seattle virtually homeless and struggling with his own problems. He's the one who brought his own son, Cam, up. Cam played one season and then went on to a college football career. And so John McKinney says he saw these other two young men from the same town in Texas and thought, hey, I could give them an opportunity too. He is the one listed as the guardian of record on Will Sanders' paperwork. But Will Sanders didn't actually live with him.
They couch surfed.
To a degree. They lived with different homes of different players. They say they also lived at the home of one coach briefly. So they bounced around quite a bit.
And they bounced around. Is that why the school counted them as homeless students?
Sure, technically. Uh-huh. That's why. They certainly were not part of Garfield's neighborhood catchment area, being from Texas. And they weren't, in fact, living, as I understand it, with the person who was their official guardian, or at least who was not Will Sanders' official guardian. So, yeah, they moved around from different houses, house to house, over the course of the season. And then when the season was finished, Will Sanders says they were encouraged to travel back to Texas for the Thanksgiving holiday with assurances, he says, that they would be brought back up to continue school.
Is that a rule violation right there? Suggesting you'll paying for a flight and saying we'll get you back?
It kind of depends who really paid. The question is the origination of this whole arrangement and whether the coach at Garfield in fact told these young men from Texas, I've got you, I will get you up here. They say that he said he would pay for tickets to get them up here. That technically seems that it would be a rule violation. The going back to Texas and coming up again, perhaps. But the executive director of the Washington Interscholastic Athletic Association, known as the WIAA, says that a parent helping out isn't necessarily a violation. So I will say there are a lot more questions raised by this story than answers at this point.
Where are these students now?
They are back in Seattle.
Seattle. What are they? Yeah, go on.
After they were in Texas and trying to come back here and not getting much help with that, they say they raised their own plane fare to come back. And they arrived here in March. with nobody looking out for them. And eventually they were enrolled at Interagency Academy, which is an alternative school.
We mentioned this idea that they didn't have a Garfield area address. That's not exclusive to these kids, right? That's kind of an opportunity for kids sometimes. It can be a help to families, can it, to let kids go to work the system so kids can go to school?
You know, the sort of traditional model for that is a active parent who sees a shining academic school and wants to get their child into a more academic environment. And so they might fudge their address or use the address of a relative to establish residency in whatever district of whatever school.
I had a friend ask me to do that.
Right. It's commonly done. It's not supposed to be done.
I said no, by the way.
It is technically against the rules, but it is often done, and you can hardly fault a parent for wanting a better academic environment for their child. In this case, however, academics surely did not seem to be the primary consideration at play.
Yeah.
And while reporting the story, I heard many tales of kids from all over the place not living in their actual true home and being moved around so that they could attend different schools to play on different teams.
Right, right. This is bigger. This is bigger than we usually find out. We just had the scandal at Bellevue High School. The coach was fired there. School sanctioned for improper recruiting. What do these stories teach us about what's going on in high school sports, Claudia?
For me, as an education reporter, they raise a perplexing question, because what really is the gain? What is the motivation, really? You know, so maybe your team does well? Your team has a good record? Really? I think to a lot of people who are not involved with sports, that's puzzling. Perhaps there are egos at play. Perhaps there are careers at play. I don't mean students' athletic careers only. I mean adults' careers. Maybe.
Athletic directors and coaches.
Perhaps. Mm-hmm. I don't really see a financial motive on the adult end. For the young people, there may be a sense of the possibility of a college scholarship or something like that, a hand up. But that is not what happened in this case, or at least not yet.
Talking with the Seattle Times' Claudia Rowe, is there any way to prevent this kind of sports academics rule violation?
You know, there surely could be more active oversight. There is a real tradition of, I think, from what I've heard, looking away.
Yeah.
When a student is listed as homeless, this is a federal designation, McKinney-Vento status. The legislation covering homeless students is called the McKinney-Vento Act. There doesn't seem to be terribly stringent oversight of how that gets attached to a student. As I understand it from the reporting, when a student is an athlete and they have McKinney-Vento status, it is up to somebody to bring a complaint, to bring a question to the oversight body, which is a district within the Washington Interscholastic Athletic Association. It's all very decentralized. And it is up to somebody to bring a complaint about the status of the student. And then the student must appeal the complaint. So it's not as if the outside adults necessarily are monitoring this in any active fashion.
You talked about looking away. Is there another way, realistically, to set up the rule body, or is it just happens this way because we don't want it to be any other way? We look away.
I really can't speak at this point to anybody's motivation. What I will say is that it strikes me as curious that the oversight body in Washington State, this WIAA, is owned by, that's in the words of the executive director, owned by the member schools. So it's really, you know, the member schools are his boss. They are the boss of the WIAA, in the words of the executive director. So
you might think it's the other way around.
And you might say, well, then that's the member schools essentially policing themselves or hiring the person who's supposed to police them. And that seems fraught with potential conflict.
So, Claudia, beyond policing little rule violations, and they keep popping up, and we have scandals, have for years, is there a bigger picture way to rethink this system that you take seriously. There's pay the players. There's take sports out of public schools and make it just be a club event thing and not part of public schools. What do you think about the bigger picture here?
Interesting. I spend most of my time looking at education policy. I am not a sports reporter, so I am, like everybody else, kind of feeling my way through this and trying to think through what would be a better way. I really couldn't advocate taking sports entirely out of public schools, because for so many kids, that's the magnet that will bring them to school. And the ideas behind the WIAA and the language and all the regulations is very clear about the priority of academics. That's what's in the language. And for many kids, I think that's the idea behind maintaining a certain grade point average if you're on a team, though obviously, as we've seen in this story, that there can be overrides of those eligibility requirements, as there were in this case.
Yeah, he didn't have the grades to be eligible.
Correct.
Yeah. You said that something along the way, Claudia, that this story raises more questions than it answers. So a listener, maybe they've heard the whole thing or they've just joined us. Another high school sports scandal, maybe there's an investigation. What's the takeaway? What should we think about going into our day from your reporting?
We should all be looking at, to my mind, what's the prize here? What's the motivation? What's the goal? Why would various adults make notations in a system that override certain eligibility rules? What's the gain? Is it merely having a hot team? Maybe. I deal in questions, and that's what I want to look at. I want to understand who wins here. Who wins? It sure wasn't Will Sanders.
I think you're going to be reporting this topic for a while.
I hope so. I hope people contact me with ideas.
Seattle Times education reporter Claudia Rowe. And we'll tweet out a link to her Seattle Times story right now at KUOW. Claudia, as always, thank you.
Thanks for having me on, Bill. Really interesting conversation.